And I have a couple people help me with the communion. When Jesus instituted the communion, he told us to take this as often as you will. So you can take it, you know, you can take it two or three times a day if you want. And the Bible tells us that the early disciples and apostles went from house to house, breaking bread daily. Who knows how many times they partook of the communion. But the thing is, Paul told us in the Bible, he said that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. So we have to identify the different things that happen to the body of Christ so we can discern it properly. When we look at this bread, which is the body of Christ, we see that it's made without yeast. That's very important because yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. So we're looking at the perfect, sinless body of Christ. You'll notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. The Bible tells us that Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. There's also stripes in this. The Bible tells us that Jesus took stripes on his back for our healing. You'll notice that this bread is pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. Not just when he was on that throne, when he was on that cross, and that Roman soldier put a spear in his side, but when he got a crown of thorns in his head, he shed blood. When he got nails in his hand, he shed blood. When he got nails in his feet, he shed blood. And every time he shed blood, it was for our redemption. You'll also notice that this bread is slightly burned. The Bible tells us that at that time, Jesus took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment on him. He took every sin, every curse, every sickness, he took it all on him when he was on that cross. In fact, that was when Jesus said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That was the first time Jesus ever addressed God as God. He had always addressed him as Father. But he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God literally turned his head away from his son. He could not look on sin. And the world went dark. But because God turned his eyes away from Jesus, he'll never turn his eyes away from you. The Bible tells us he's continually looking to and fro, looking for the righteous. So we're taking on this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure because it is the blood of God. There's absolutely no sin in the blood of God. We have Adam's blood coursing through our veins. That means we have sin-tainted blood. That's why we have a need for a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And it's because of his perfectly pure blood that that blood never dies. That's why it's continually washing us from all sin. That is the only thing that had the power to wash away our sins and put us into right standing with God. And now it's because of that blood that we have boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. We are certainly living in some very, very interesting times right now. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people are not awake to what is actually happening. One of the most dangerous things that happens to people is they fall into confirmation bias. And if they don't, if they hear something that doesn't agree with what they've been taught or what they believe, then they just wipe it off. They just dismiss it. And this is dangerous. This is one of the reasons why when you read the Bible, you need to believe what you read. Unfortunately, a lot of people want to just read what they believe. See, the Word of God is offensive to human flesh. You have to understand that. The Word of God is offensive to human flesh. The truth is offensive to human flesh. What happens a lot of times is somebody will find something in the Bible that they don't want to agree with, and they'll just write it off, and they'll become hard-hearted towards it. You see, this is why sometimes you see people at the end of their life and they have spent a lifetime rejecting Christ. And then you go in there and they know that their time is up. And you try to tell them about Jesus and they just dismiss it. They become hard-hearted. See, every one of us has an opportunity to become hard-hearted in some area. If we find something that we don't understand, maybe we don't even agree with, we dismiss it, guess what you've done? You've hardened a little piece of your heart. See, there's a lot of things I don't understand in the Bible, but I'm open to it. You know, I don't understand walking on water. I don't know how Jesus did that. It's not just because he was the Son of God. Everything he did was by the power of the Holy Spirit. That means we qualify for it. I don't know how he did that. I don't know how Philip the Evangelist baptized Enoch, and then he was found 30 miles away the very next minute. I don't know how he managed to do that, but I know that's available to us. I don't just write it off and say, well, that was for the early church. That's not true. We are the early church. We are the church. Period. Amen. But just because I don't understand something, that doesn't mean that it's not true. One of the challenges that people have and they get mixed up with is you have to understand that the doctrine, that your doctrine is not the gospel. See, there's the gospel and then there's the doctrine of man. See, there are groups of people that decide what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe. That's not the gospel. So we have to look at the gospel squarely and say, okay, this is what it says right here. So that's the way it is. Regardless of what man says, that's the way it is. Amen. Now, Jesus talked about tribulation. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now, if you have noticed, there is a lot of tribulation around the world right now. There's a lot of things going on. And, you know, sometimes when I see these world events, I sit there and I look. See, I don't really believe in coincidences. I believe in God's timing and God's direction and His divine intervention, and He has a lot to do with the way things work out. But sometimes I wonder if these world leaders open the Bible up and find the timeline and say, okay, this is how we're going to do this. But look, you know what tomorrow is? This is the first, right? You know what tomorrow is? Huh? What? What Independence Day? Texas Independence Day? Well, that's a good one. But that's not what I'm pushing for. Tomorrow is the beginning of Purim. Tomorrow is the beginning of Purim. It starts on the second and it ends on the third. Why is that significant? Well, we happen to have had a blood moon. These planets aligned. Purim is on the way. Purim, by the way, and by the way, we're bombing Iran like crazy. Purim was when Israel got delivered from Persia. And here we are dropping bombs on Persia. That's a significant thing. This close to one of the Israel's holidays. Folks, we're living in the end times. Too many people are looking to the future for the end time. It's now. It's now. It's now. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 16, verse 12. See, sometimes I think the church has been lulled into a deep sleep, thinking that these prophecies are going to be fulfilled in the far-off distant future, but they've been being fulfilled daily. Daily they're being fulfilled. Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragons, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle at that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Do you realize that the Euphrates is almost completely dry? Do you realize that there is a thing called the Og-Magog War? That's China, Russia, these other nations coming against Israel. Do you realize that the river Euphrates, when it's completely dry, it paved the way for the kings of the east to come to Jerusalem. We're there. Also, Russia has bases within 160 miles of Jerusalem, and even smaller bases at the Golan Heights. Russia is prepared. But here, Israel's on high alert. Israel is on high alert. But what does this mean? See, when you see red alerts across the map, when Jerusalem is once again at the center of tension, when the nations shift in a line, this is not about panic. This is about discernment. Israel has never been just another nation in Scripture. Just look at Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. It says, chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." See, it tells of a time when everybody's going to be gathered up against Israel. But Israel will not be utterly destroyed. The people will not utterly be destroyed. It talks about the people walking through a canyon that's just wide enough for one person. And they walk through this canyon and they get to a place called Petra. And that's where God sets on them and protects them. They will not utterly be destroyed. But there is great conflict in Israel right now. It's on. I think we're leading up to a big, big battle. Now, for thousands of years, Jerusalem has drawn global attention. Empires have risen and fallen, yet that small little sliver of land, it remains central. And that is not coincidence. That is covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Abraham. And whether the world likes to believe it or not, the world does actually revolve around Jerusalem. Everything significant in our lives really does revolve around what happened in Jerusalem. Jesus happened in Jerusalem. Amen? There's nothing that doesn't tie to Jerusalem. Now, with that being said, that does not mean that Israel is not going to have some changes happen to it. The same way we're going through changes, Israel is going to go through changes too. Now, I want you to understand this. Look at Luke chapter 21, verse 28. This does not mean that you stick your head in the sand. Whatever's going on in the world, whatever's going on in Jerusalem, it does not mean that you run and hide. It does not mean that you hide your eyes. And in fact, Jesus told us what to watch for. See, Luke chapter 21, verse 28 says, when these things begin. Now I'm going to start up here a little bit. Let's start at verse 22. It says, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. Jesus said there was going to be wrath upon these people. Jesus said that. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things, circle this word, when these things begin, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Notice the word begin. Not when everything is fully complete. Not when every prophecy is fulfilled, but when they begin. It's on. We've seen signs and wonders in the sky, the blood moons, the moon turned to blood. We've seen the crazy, absolutely crazy atmospheric changes in this world. Earthquakes, volcanoes, tornadoes, hurricanes, all kinds of stuff happening in this world. Wars and rumors of wars. And guess what Jesus said to do? Go hide, store up food in a cave? No. He said, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. He's coming. He's coming, and he's closer than ever before. And it really bothers me when people see this. One of the things, people get this idea, well, he's been saying that for a long, long time. I know, and a long, long time has passed. That means it's upon us. You know, it seems like things happen every 2,000 years. And you got to realize that we've been in this deal for about 6,000 years. Somewhere in there, we don't know. They messed up our calendar. We lost track of time. But we got to be close. We got to be close. Now, this tension, we have global instability. Have you ever seen a time where the whole world is more unstable than what it is now, other than World War II, World War I? Right now, the whole world is on edge. All of the Middle East. Iran just scattered bombs every direction they could send them, and they hit all kinds of their Arab nations over there in the Middle East. They hit Dubai, Saudi Arabia. Now they're all mad at them. They're bombing them. Pakistan and Afghanistan are having their own war. China and Russia are supporting Israel. Yeah, China flew a bunch of planes into Israel. So here we are. We're in a global tension time zone right now. And Jerusalem is at the center. Now, Jesus did not say panic. He said, look up. He said, look up. Our response must be biblical. See, we do not respond with fear. We do not respond with hatred. This is something that's got to stop. There are groups of people that say we need to just go completely wipe Iran off the face of the map. No! The government needs to be removed, not the people. There are people that say Israel needs to be wiped off the face of the map. No, the government needs to be removed, not the people. See, if you have that frame of mind, then get ready, because America needs to be wiped off the face of the map because of our government. Now, would you hold to that philosophy? And if you hold to one, you got to hold to the other. No, our government needs to be fixed. Our government needs to be fixed. The people can grow. The government needs to be changed. Now, he said, look up. Our response must be biblical. We do not respond with fear. We do not respond with hatred. We respond with prayer. Number one, let's start at Psalms chapter 122. Psalm chapter 122, verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. So there's a good one for you to remember. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It causes prosperity to come your way. Don't curse Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, pray for that peace. And even more importantly, see, there's a group of people that believe that Israel's just going to be okay. You know, because they have this old covenant. Well, if the old covenant could get you to God, then there would have been no need for Jesus. This makes some people mad. People get offended at this. But there's only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. You cannot go to God except through Jesus. He is the only way. That is the straight and narrow gate. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Even the Jews have to go through Jesus to get to the Father. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. I think we can agree that Paul probably knew more about Israel and about the Jewish people and about anything else than anybody we ever heard of. The Apostle Paul probably knew more about any of it. And here's what he had to say. And in fact, see, he was being trained to be a high priest. He knew the law. He knew that if he could get to heaven through the law, he would have stuck to it. But even Paul went through Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 says, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That right there should just pretty much explain it now, shouldn't it? There's no going around back. There's no going another way. You go through Jesus, period. That's the one way to God, is through the Son. He is the door. See, the greatest need for Israel is not stronger defense systems. It's not, I don't care how many defense systems, that's not their greatest need. The greatest need is salvation. See, the same is true for every nation. The bigger picture is that Scripture tells us that sudden shifts will come. Just look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Have you noticed any sudden shifts in our world lately? Daily. Daily. We're having, it seems like things change drastically almost every day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. Says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We need to pay attention to what's going on in the world around us. We need to watch what's going on. We're living in biblical prophecy right now. We are in the end times event. This is not something that's going to happen in the far off distant future. See, the world will speak of stability. We've heard a lot of talk about stability, haven't we? Peace through strength. Stability. But prophecy tells us that the peace of man is fragile. This is why we stay sober and grounded in truth. That's in verse 6. Some things that we can pray for. We can pray for Israel's protection. They certainly need that, don't they? They're going to have some divine intervention, because I understand that the dome, the Iron Dome, isn't working. We pray for wisdom for their leaders. I think every world leader right now could use some wisdom, don't you? Pray for peace in Jerusalem, but above all, more importantly than anything in the whole world, is we pray for salvation for Jewish hearts to see their Messiah. For Arab hearts to believe the gospel. For the nations to turn to Christ. For the lost everywhere to be saved. See, politics cannot save a soul. Military strength cannot remove sin. Only Jesus can redeem. The gospel is the only true hope. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In this time and hour, I've noticed that people become offended very easily. There's definitely being some sorting out going on in this world. And I've noticed that people wait for the opportunity to become offended. And if something doesn't fit with their narrative, they get mad. We can't afford to be offended. We need to stay grounded in the truth. And if somebody says something that you don't understand, or maybe you don't agree, maybe look at the other perspective. See, there's always a couple different sides. You can look at this Bible right here. What do you see? Go ahead and tell me what you see. It's the brown, hairy cover. I see a real pretty studded cross. We're looking at the same Bible. See, we're looking at the same Bible, just different perspectives. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Who do you suppose Paul was talking to right there? He was surrounded by Jewish people. He said, "Brother," he spent a lot of time talking to Jewish people. He did carry the gospel to the Gentiles, but he spent a lot of time talking to Pharisees too. And he said, there's only one way to the Father, that's through the Son. Christ died for our sins. There's no other way around it. We believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. You shall be saved. That is the only way. You know, I don't care how many things you went through as a kid and somebody said you got saved. If you didn't believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I've had people tell me they got baptized when they were a baby. They went through the seven sacraments. They got baptized. They confessed all their sins while they were sitting in water. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You shall be saved. There's no other way. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." See, there's a lot of Christians that are worried about the wrath of God. You shouldn't be. You're justified by the blood of Jesus. You're saved from wrath. Look up. Look up. The things that are happening in our world are prophetically aligned, and it's happening right now. We're living it. Look up. I want you to look at verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some should even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the gospel. We cannot save ourselves. Only Jesus can do that. We cannot wash away our sins. Only Jesus can do that. Water cannot wash away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. No good works can make you righteous before God. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for everything that you do for us. Father, we ask you to protect Israel. Father, we pray for peace in Jerusalem. And Jesus said that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Father, this world needs to be set free. Father, we ask you to proclaim the truth, bring it to light, cause the dark things to be shined a light on, the hidden things to be exposed. Father, we want to clean our world up. We ask you in the name of Jesus for your divine guidance in this, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.